Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lantern Prep Sports Report. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And we are presented by our good friends at Alpha. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning, Coach. I hope everybody is well this morning.
Well, I'm praying everybody is well. And Ian is, of course, getting us on the air. And we appreciate everything Ian does each and every Saturday morning. I just want to tell you, despite rumors from some of my friends on Lake Martin, I was not the captain of the ship, the container ship that was trying to get through the Suez Canal. Good gracious, did you see that? See, Mark Lassiter's so busy that he doesn't even know what's going on in the world. You don't. I'm
trying to get my stairs stained.
Holy cow.
No, 90, they're done. I'm just messing.
90% of the world's trade is transported by sea. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
Okay, and really, as consumers, we very rarely give much thought to that, to how things we buy, how they make their way across the planet and into our homes. And that is until something happens like happened this week when these huge container ships. Now, you know, we see these container ships in Mobile Bay all the time. I mean, you know, they're loaded down, just absolutely loaded down. Well, there was a ship called the Ever Given in the Suez Canal. And probably because of high winds, this container ship is now blocking the narrow strait that we call the Suez Canal. And it's sad. It's really bad. And I'm laughing internally. But this is a major trade artery that connects the Mediterranean and the Red Sea. So while we think that may not affect us directly, I can only imagine worldwide what and it is kind of, when you see that container ship stuck in that Suez Canal, it kind of reminds me, we were over in St. Simons, and I don't know if you know it, but there was a big ship that turned over right in the channel between St. Simons and Jekyll Island. Never seen anything like it. A caterpillar, a big dump truck sitting there looks like an ant to us on the ground compared to that ship. So I just wanted to, I got some stuff from one of my buddies at Lake Martin saying, Rick, were you the captain of that ship? Because he's seen me drive a boat on Lake Martin. So I'm not bad.
I'm not going to get into
that. No, don't get into that. Don't get into that. But anyway, that's our news item for this morning. We do, you know, and golly, the tornadoes that went through central Alabama this past week. I was looking at Ohatchee High School, Scott Martin, the head football coach there. They've had some terrific damage over around that area. And then I don't know if you're familiar with Double Oak Mountain. As you go over Double Oak Mountain and that really nice community Eagle Point that mm-hmm. they built right up there at the top of Double Oak,
mm-hmm.
devastated. Tornadoes just went through.
Is that
there.
The one going down, like if you keep going southeast, you go to Chelsea?
Well, yeah. Yeah, okay. If you're going towards Sylacauga, but if yeah. you're going to – it's in between. Yeah, it's in between
it is, yeah.
Chelsea and where Lloyd's Restaurant is.
Right,
if you know.
Right.
Up right at the very peak of Double Oak Mountain. And, man, alive, some beautiful, beautiful homes. Man, right on top of the mountain, that tornado just went through there and – did some devastation. So our prayers are with those folks.
There was a lot of tornadoes that went through, you know, central Alabama during that storm. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we have to kind of always stay vigilant, you know, when weather comes up. Like here, you know, it said, well, we're going to have this storm. And it really never got that bad.
Right.
But you never know. Yeah. With tornadoes. Tornadoes can pop up
anytime
when, yeah. when the conditions are right. So, anyway, we'll be praying for all those folks that have – lost property, and those Man. Families that lost loved ones.
Man, it's been a tough week for folks around the state of Alabama as far as weather is concerned. And I don't know that it's over. From what I understand, we still got maybe another front coming through here midweek. And I know what it has done. It has really messed up all of our tennis schedules, and I would imagine golf too. And maybe – I don't think it's affected baseball as much. In tennis – if you get a 20-minute rain, you're done. You know, you just can't play because it takes so long to drive those hard courts out. And if you had a helicopter, you could come in and blow them off. But you squeegee them the best you can.
But it's still not going to get it all off.
Yeah, but once you squeegee, if a little bit of rain comes, then you're just back to where you started.
Right.
So we were supposed to play a couple of matches. We had McGill scheduled for Wednesday, and unfortunately, we canceled that match Wednesday morning early. And it was a beautiful day.
I know it happens.
It happens. You know, it was a mistake on both of our parts.
It's still a catch 22,
right? It is.
It doesn't matter. You do it. Let's say you don't call it off. You go ahead and play, and then you get
the
storm.
It's going to rain. That's right.
And so you try to go by and make the best decision you can on what information you have.
And then Thursday, you and I had talked previously. You had a golf match at Heron Lakes. We had Gulf Shores coming into town. Gulf Shores left about 2:15. Right at 3 o'clock, it just came a complete downpour for about 10 minutes. Wiped everything out. So we've had to reschedule that. And the thing is, we have to play sectional matches. You have to play all your section teams in order to qualify for your section tournament. So we're now struggling to get all of those matches in.
You know, one of the things we talk about in here, a lot of people ask other folks or ask coaches, what do athletic directors and their staff do
right. A
lot of time. Well, one of the things that happens in the spring, especially this spring, is when schedules change.
Right.
There is a tremendous amount of communication that has to take place to let everybody know what's happening, what's going on, when it's changed to, as far as, you know, officials, transportation.
Buses are, yeah.
Parents, kids. School people, you know, dismissal from classes if they have to leave early. That there's so much that goes into it that nobody ever.
No.
If you're on the outside, you would. I mean, I wouldn't know it.
No.
If I was just, you know, out there and one of my kids was playing, I wouldn't know all the things that went on to help get all those schedules changed.
Yeah, when there's the logistics.
It's
you're exactly right. It's unbelievable. And you know, the first thing you do is you try to reschedule, and then you try to find a date that both schools. Or, you know, that they complement each other, and then you got to look to transportation. If you do reschedule, first you better have a bus to travel in, and then next you better have a facility to play in. And it's I can imagine golf is just, I mean, because the latter part of the week, the harder it is to get on a golf course. The early part of the week, I think, is fairly easy. Mondays
Correct.
And Tuesdays, but as you get into Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, I would imagine it's very hard.
Most of the time, we run into, and it's it's no one's fault. Golf courses kind of dictate to us what we can do because they have schedules.
Sure,
they have other tournaments. They have all kind of things going on that they have to do. It's part of their procedure and part of their business.
Yeah.
And so when our schedules change, we have to check with them to see if we can make it work. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes events are just canceled, you know, and you just have to go and that's just all there is to it and go on to the next one.
Let's kind of talk. And I thank John Norris for all this information. This is some really good stuff. I want to go over some things baseball-wise in area play this week. Number one, Faith Academy in 6A beat Saraland 13-3 and 6-4. On Thursday and Friday, then McGill swept Citronelle. In 7A, Mary Montgomery beat Baker in game one, 5-1. Baker came back and won the second game, 10-2, and then won the rubber match, 7-4 in eight innings. Congratulations to Baker. 7A is wide open in the area. That's that area is not even close to being determined. 6A is really, really good statewide. Probably the strongest overall in all seven classifications. 6A baseball is really, really good. If you get a chance, go out and see Faith Academy play. They are really good. Matt Seymour has got a heck of a baseball team out there. Brett Boutwell's got a really good team over at Saraland. Spanish Fort has three SEC arms. Three.
Good.
That's really – Gulf Shores is good, and Robertsdale is pretty solid. In 5A, looks like it's going to be UMS Wright and St. Paul's. Kevin Rady's got a heck of a team over there. Of course, the pitcher that everybody is talking about. Mr. Bruins is, I think, scheduled to pitch maybe Thursday night in an area game, and he's something special. St. Paul's, both of those are ranked in the top 10. Should be a lot of fun next week. Maddox Bruins will go the first round probably. Half dozen scouts have kind of predicted that. Mobile Christian's good in 4A. Could easily compete in 6A or 7A. Area play is wide open next week. So any questions, we'll be glad to answer. We'll be back with more. Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
All right, that's Becker and Fagan. Of course, this is the big day. Saturday morning, Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we are coming up on the Jimmy and Kip three-putt segment. That's, I'm telling you, hey, Brandon Dean can appreciate those three-putters, I can promise you. He's an avid golfer. I watch him once a year. But what he does do is he coaches offensive line for a state champion football program at UMS Wright, and he's been Pat Galley's number one man in these outdoor. You know what? I know so little about track, Mark, because during the spring, as athletic directors, we had to be everywhere that you could be, and trying to figure out a track meet, you had to have a pretty doggone good track coach to keep things going in that direction, I'm telling you.
It's track meet. There's people going running and jumping, yep, and throwing everywhere.
And Brandon has been with Pat Galley for a lot of years, and those two guys do a great, great job. Good morning, Brandon. How you doing, pal? Have we got him on? Brandon, can you hear us?
I hear you.
Okay. Good morning, pal. We're giving you all kind of accolades. And
morning, here. Coach Dean.
You better be careful. Something be coming at you. About, well, may be over there with him.
Oh,
they
God.
May, hey, there could be anything coming through the lines. I'm just telling you. you guys just kind of wrapped up line Newell and got it in on us even before. We usually try to talk about it Saturday before, but kind of give us a wrap-up of line Newell. You guys have raised a boatload of money for a lot of great things there, and kind of give us a wrap-up of what went on this the middle of the week this week over on our campus.
Actually, we did it last night.
Oh.
This one, it actually took place because, with the expected weather on Wednesday, which we didn't get, we decided to move it to Friday. We figured it would be a better day.
Yep.
And it wound up being fine from that standpoint. But, it's just a great event. And, it's turned into something that from an athletic standpoint, a lot of teams really enjoy coming to because it primarily focuses just on the throwers. And, from a non-athletic standpoint, it's turned into a great event for raising money for charity in the name of flying. So all around, it's just turned into something that's pretty special to a lot of people. I think yesterday went off great. And, there was had 14 teams that came. Moving it to Friday affected a couple teams that couldn't make it. But, all in all, I think it turned out pretty good.
This is mostly a field event, right? Is that predominantly?
All the three throwing events.
Yeah.
Yes, all field events, but just the throwing events. Not any jumps, not any running, not anything like that.
Now, is javelin included in that?
It is.
How does that come out? Do we have javelin throwers at UMS Wright?
We've got some good javelin throwers at UMS Wright. Luke Stringer is our number one right now.
Yeah.
And the boys, and Campbell Johnson is our number one in the girls. And that's kind of the event that everybody likes to,
yeah,
like to focus on as far as the throwing. It's exciting to throw a spear through the air, I guess. And that's turned into kind of the the event that everybody wants to watch and try. We've got about 30 javelin throwers at UMass, Rick. Because everybody wants to try it.
Now, have you tried that? I mean, you're one that tries everything. I mean, have you gone out and tried to hit Mr. Bruns yet? Have you tried that? Usually, you're the guy on our staff that goes out and wants to check out all these pitchers because you generally can hit them.
Well, I mean, I think the last one I tried out was Lieber, and I got a couple base hits off him. So I don't think I want to try my luck yet with Bruns, though. I'll let him get a little bit older.
Okay.
A little bit worn out.
All right. Do you declare a winner in the line, Newell? Is there an overall winner, or is it just such?
No, there is. We actually keep scoring and have team winners. And the girls, McGill was first and Fairhope was second. We just scored the top two.
Yeah.
And then the boys, Fairhope was first and St. Paul's was second.
Wow.
Fairhope's come along in the throwing events and track in general. And they had a couple guys over 50 foot in the shot put, which is pretty
good
impressive.
Gracious. Wow. Oof. Well, you guys have done – I mean, y'all have done an amazing job with this, and it goes to such an amazing cause. Tell us real quick a little bit about Lion Newell, the genesis of this meet, because Lion was a tremendous athlete there at UMS Wright, and the legacy that he's left behind with what you guys have done is something to certainly highlight.
Yeah, he graduated from UMS in 98, so he was 2 years older than me, so I personally knew him. And you know, just talking about his character, he was just an all-around, you know, kind of the guy that you'd want to emulate, want your son to emulate. Just, you know, always was where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do. Loved athletics, excelled in football and track, and you know, he just was some, obviously based off what this has turned into, somebody that everyone respected and cared about. And then, you know, when he had the accident and he passed away from it, I was actually still in college, but Coach Galley was approached by some people and thought it was a good idea to start this event, which, you know, a throwers-only meet had never been done. So Lion was a heck of a shot putter and discus thrower. And, they figured that it would be a great way to honor him and keep his legacy going, and kind of started it. And I don't think there was a whole lot of teams that first year, and then I believe the second year after everybody saw what it was, you know, it went from very few to many, and it's just continued to grow. And I know our kids, it's something that they look forward to every year, and especially, you know, the throwers especially, but all the runners, you know, you look out there yesterday, and just about every runner we had was out there watching the throwing meet. So
that's awesome.
You know, it all kind of ties together, and it's something pretty cool to watch.
Well, Brandon, you guys have done an amazing job, and thank you from a lot of people that have benefited from that. And I know it's a lot of hours, a lot of work that goes into it, and it's certainly appreciated. A lot of times you don't get that, but it is. And thank y'all for doing that. And take care. Hope you have a good weekend, pal.
I appreciate it, Rick. Same to you. And you know, let's just keep it rolling.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you soon. That's Brandon Dean, the one of the track coaches at UMS Wright. Does an amazing job with that. That takes a lot of work. Now I'm telling you, they all come together and get everybody they can to help them, and have raised a boatload of money for that charity event there, the Lion Newell event.
Putting on any type of track meet takes a lot of people helping out, because there's lots of things that have to be scored, measured. Groups have to be put to the right, you know, in the right places. Heats have to be set up correctly. It just takes a lot of people.
Yeah.
And takes a lot of folks who just care about kids
to
come out there and do it.
All righty. That's some good stuff. And lots of track meets going on now. We just found out that we're going to be hosting our sectional track meet at UMS Wright, and we're excited about that a little later on. So we're scheduled to have Caleb Ross on at 8:30. I've got to call him and touch base about some NC2A things. I don't want to make, you know, there's some ropes you got to jump through to get these college guys on, and I want to make sure that we're not doing anything that we shouldn't be doing to get one of those guys on. So if we're not able to talk to Caleb, we'll talk to him whenever we can get all that cleared up. But we certainly are excited about Caleb. Caleb, former Prattville head coach, former McGill head coach, now at Troy. And we'll see what we can get figured out about that. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report with Mark and Rick. We'll be back with more high school sports right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And, you know, the neat thing about this, Mark Lassiter, is we're heard all over central Alabama. And, boy, that area has been devastated by tornadoes, and certainly our prayers go out to those folks. But one of the places that we have a lot of listeners is Prattville, Alabama. And that's Lion Country up there now. If you never played in Stanley Jensen Stadium, you've missed a treat. And a guy that for the last 3 years has led that Lion program, Caleb Ross, has now taken on a new responsibility. He's on Chip Lindsey's staff at Troy University, and he's the director of player personnel and high school relations for Chip and those guys there. And we've just got just a few minutes to spend with him. I know he's got a meeting at 9 o'clock this morning, but we wanted to spend a little bit of time with him. First of all, to congratulate him publicly, because we are so excited for him. But second of all, to kind of get a little game plan for what his responsibilities are going to be, Mark. So I know that you're excited for him, as we are here at PSR. Caleb, good morning, pal, and thanks for joining us for a short time this morning, pal.
Hello.
Hey, did you get us? You got us now?
Static that was killer in the background.
So. I'm sorry. We got some situations going on here. Our special teams are not working as well as they should be, I guess. I don't know what but you know how that goes sometimes. First of all, congratulations. It's something that you've you and your family have prayed about, and for you to pack up and leave home. 1997 graduate of Prattville High School, but I know it was a tough decision. Kind of go through that with us, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. It was probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. You know, when I left McGill, that was tough. McGill was special to us. We loved it there. But when you're home, you know, it just means so much to you at Prattville. And we built so many relationships there. We already had relationships when you're from there. But you come in, you build so many with kids. You build it with community, parents. And, you know, we really felt like we were building that program back, and we felt like this year was probably going to be our best year. But, you know, I had set a goal for myself back when I was in college. I want to coach college football, and then you go down your path of coaching high school, and there's some close calls, things like that, but don't really work out. And you finally get peace of mind that, hey, look, if I'm a high school coach and that's what God's plan for my life is, that's okay with me. So, but then – about a month ago, get a phone call from Coach Lindsey from Chip and said, hey, would you be interested in this? David's going to leave. And, man, I'll be honest, it was an opportunity that I know was good. But at first, I was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I can leave my hometown. But prayed about it, talked to people that I trust in the industry, and they were like, and if you want to coach college football, this is a good opportunity for you. Get your foot in the door. Chip's going to treat you good. He's an awesome guy. Troy's got there's so much to offer at Troy. It's a great place, great tradition. They got a chance to be really good, you know, this year. So, man, I took it all in consideration, and we took the chance. And so far, man, we're really enjoying it.
Well, Coach, now that you've gotten there, kind of got settled in, what are going to be some of your kind of responsibilities? What do y'all? What are the things that Chip's got you in mind for you to do?
Yeah, well, my title is Director of Player Personnel and High School Relations. As some of my job description, I will be in charge of, you know, making sure the high school coaches in this state and states around us, man, anything that if they want to, when things do open back up, and hopefully pretty soon, that if they want to come visit practice, they want to come meet with the staff, come to games, that is a big job responsibility of mine. I'll help run a lot of camp. I'll run our 7-on-7 camp and invite teams there and do that. That's part of my job responsibility. You know, when recruits come on campus, that is going to be my, like, unofficial visits, game day. It's my job to set all that up, to organize that. I'll handle all the walk-ons that come and make sure they're getting here and getting settled. I will be involved in offense. I've been, you know, that is one thing that I wasn't going to, just sitting, I was not probably going to take it if it was just going to be a desk job or a cubicle job or something like that. But I'm, you know, I do get to be involved in offense. You know, you're limited in the role I'm in to do a lot of on-the-field coaching. You know, the NCAA just won't allow that. But I can be involved in meetings, game planning, practice planning. That's all been really good. So, you know, there's other things. I'll be involved in recruiting. I can't go off campus and recruit, but I can be involved in recruiting and, you know, organizing our sending out recruiting graphics, things like that, who we're going to game plan, strategic recruiting for the offense, things like that. So, and there's some other things that are part of my job responsibility, but that's the main stuff.
Well, I think one of the things that taking a job like this does is while it takes some change, and I mean really change from being a head coach, it puts you in a situation where you're doing some of those things that you're really, really familiar with. First of all, player personnel contact, dealing with players, incoming players and stuff like that. That's right up your alley, Caleb, because you did that every day as a head coach.
Every day.
And
I told some of our guys on staff, I said, you know, because some of these guys are high school guys on our staff. Some of them have only been in college. I said, guys, when you're head high school coach, I was the DFO,
yeah. You know,
the football operations guy. I was the academics guy. I was the, fundraiser guy. And you're familiar with all of it. Now you got to understand, look, as far as recruiting, you know, dealing and building relationships with high school kids, well, we did that daily.
Yeah.
But the learning the operation of how recruiting works and,
yeah.
You know, learning how to recruiting budgets and the whole social media and the graphics and how to contact kids, all that you got to learn. It's just a process.
You know, Caleb, I think what's going to change the landscape of college football is a transfer portal. And
that's right.
I would imagine that at some point in time, that'll be something that will also be put on your shoulders as well. I would imagine you'll have to watch that very, very closely.
We already do. I mean, that's some of the stuff that you do. That's one thing. Part of recruiting is part of it. You got to see if anybody, who does enter the transfer portal. And I'll tell you this, on the flip side of that, one of the sales for me at Troy to come here is I had somebody say, hey, look, there's a good culture there. There ain't many kids that have jumped in the transfer portal at Troy like other places.
Yeah.
And they really hadn't. I was like, well, that says a lot about what's going on here. And then that's one thing I've been totally impressed, man. I've been here about a week and a half. We've got a really good culture here. We got good young men in our program. You know, it's just not a lot of riffraff, not a lot of, undisciplined stuff going on so far. I'm sure you hope there's not, but so far, man, it's been really, really good.
When will spring training start? Have y'all already started? And kind of what's the plan for spring training this spring?
Well, we are dead in the middle. When I came on board, we were 90 miles an hour. So, it's really been I pride myself on being a quick learner, but it is, hey, man, this train's moving. You need to jump on and learn quick.
Learn it on a run.
It is. So we're in the middle. We actually have our first scrimmage this morning. So I'm.
Gotcha.
We got a team meeting here in about 20 minutes, and we'll go to special teams meetings, and then we'll be on the field. So we're right in the middle. I think we're practice 8 today.
Wow. Well, you know, I think, and another thing, and we're going to keep you just another minute or two because I know you're busy, way overload. But one of the things about recruiting now is you always have to have an open door, even to those recruits that go somewhere else. Because there's always that chance that you may get a phone call from them saying, look, I'm in the transfer portal, and I'm interested in Troy. And so you just don't shut any doors now in recruiting. If a kid tells you, well, I've decided to go to Southern Mississippi or I've decided to go to South Alabama, the only thing, it's not like in the old days, well, you go and we're going to whip your fanny. You go, and if there's ever anything we can do for you, we're here.
That's it. And yeah. I think that's part of my job that Chip's asked me to do with the high school coaches. Hey, man, keep good relationships, because there may be a situation where we don't offer a kid from a school and a coach is frustrated about it. But when you get just being early on in this, you start to see those things. But also, you're right, man, when you build a relationship with kids, you got to get – you can't take no personal. I guess that's probably the deal. Yep. Like, there's a lot of reasons why a kid chooses another school instead of your school, and it may have nothing to do with what you're doing or what Troy is doing. But you keep that bridge open. You do. You keep that door open, because you just never know when a kid goes somewhere and he's unhappy and he wants to come back close to home, or he wants to be in a better situation. I mean, every situation's relative now. I mean, everybody's got their reasons for doing something. You're right.
Well, and Caleb, I want to close with this. You and I both, well, I have a former player, Stacy Mills, that is, is just an amazing young man. His wife has gone through some medical problems. Let me tell you what Stacy Mills says about Caleb Ross. This is what he says. He says, Coach Ross was there every day, every hour of every day for me during my wife's struggles. And the door was always open and the phone was always there. And he really did depend on you for a lot of the stuff that people need when they're hurting. And for you to do that and being his former coach, I want you to know how much I appreciate what you did and have done and continue to do for Stacy and his wife and their family. That tells me a whole lot more, even more about Caleb Ross that I've always respected. So I want you to know how much we appreciate that here at PSR, pal.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Stacy is an unbelievable human being. Man, he's done so much for so many people, not just Prattville football, but and doesn't ask for anything in return.
No.
Just a awesome human being.
Yep.
And definitely praying for his wife and their situation.
Caleb, take care, pal. We'll be pulling. I'm sure we'll be hollering at you. Mark will be calling wanting a ticket or two every once in a while.
Come on. hey, man, door's always open, man. Troy's a great place, man. It really is a neat place down here.
Take care and tell Chip we all, Mark and I both said hello, and good luck to you guys. We'll be talking to you down the road, pal.
Will do. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
take care, Caleb.
Take care. Yes, blessings. Good guy. Man, I'm excited for Caleb.
I am,
excited
too.
For his family.
I am, too. He's going to do a great job.
He will. And
he enhanced that staff.
He'll enhance it, and he'll move up.
Yeah,
I mean, he just will. He'll move up. And his wife, Amy, former Amy Yergin from Prattville, and father-in-law was pastor at her church for years and years. And great, great folks. Look forward to following Caleb's career as a college football coach. He had a great one as a high school coach. He really did. We'll be back with more PSR, the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And when we return, we're going to talk to our little buddy, Carolyn Pilot Burdett, right here on PSR, presented by Charleston Gas Lanterns.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to PSR. Of course, that is Boz Skaggs, and he is he's a regular right here on PSR, and it's kind of like the Camp Grace segment. That's probably the most listened-to segment. That is the one we are so proud of, and one of the family members of that Camp Grace segment is Carolyn Pilot Burdett, and Caroline has got an amazing, amazing business. She and her husband have started Rooted and Grounded over, Mark, it's not a wedge for you. It may be a driver for you from the UMS campus.
It probably is.
But it's over at 2754 Dolphin Street, Mobile, and you've heard us talking about it. But we get the chance to talk to Caroline this morning. And, Caroline, good morning, darling, and thank you for taking some of your precious time to spend with us and talk about Rooted and Grounded. Carolyn.
Yes.
Okay, now you hear us.
I can hear you now.
Okay, well,
we have a delay.
Yeah, we gave you
a delay
an amazing intro, and it's a delay, but we're so glad, and we talk every Saturday about Rooted and Grounded. Tell us how things are going over at 2754 Dolphin Street. And I told somebody the other day, we're not just a coffee house with prayer, but a prayer encounter house that sells coffee. So,
talk to us
a little bit about how things are going over there.
Yeah, they are going so well. I'm just so thankful to the community around us that have come in and supported and encouraged and just been such an amazing support in opening a small business and ministry in the middle of a pandemic and everything that's going on in our world. So I could not be more grateful and thankful for each and every person that's come in and stopped by and grabbed a cup of coffee, had an amazing, delicious cinnamon roll that's gotten prayer, or even just came and got a gift for their loved one.
That's awesome. And I heard a couple of ladies talking the other day, you have a prayer room where people can call and reserve for their prayer group, your Bible study, your work meetings, or whatever. And you have a great place right there where you can just have fellowship, and it is so neat. I've only been in there a couple of times because they've kind of increased our workload at UMS with this pandemic. So what little free time we have, we're trying to update computers and things like that. But when I came in there, I was just amazed. I saw several groups of people in there. Their Bibles were open. It's just an amazing idea that y'all came up. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, that is a loaded question. It definitely is honestly just a vision from the Lord. It is not, I can take zero credit. It's all the Heavenly Father's. He just wanted to create an open space for his people to be able to encounter him, to be able to feel loved, a safe place to gather with friends and family for the body of Christ. And just to really encounter the Father.
That's pretty cool.
I love that idea, because in our world today, you know, there are not enough places where people can go and feel safe. And I love that thought of being able to go there, be safe, you know, and just be close to God. And I commend you on that being the philosophy of your business. That's awesome.
When you think about this, there's a phone number that they can call, and that's 251-408-9210, and people can call and can reserve a space, and you'll take care of everything from there, right?
That's right. Yep. Just call up there, and we'll make sure we can get a spot for you.
Well, thank you for taking time out, and like I mentioned to you, there are prayers all over the Southeast, and you know what that's all about, and so just know your family is – wow, you're right in the middle of a whole lot of praying going on, young lady.
Yes, and we could not be more grateful and thankful. You know, prayer works, and we really feel covered and prayed for, too, in this season. So well, thank you.
Please say hello to Mom and Dad, and we'll see you soon. And we hope folks go to Rooted and Grounded right there across the railroad tracks from UMS Wright. You will have an amazing, amazing, amazing time in your worship time there at Rooted and Grounded. Thanks, Carolyn.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you so much.
Take care. You know, that's an amazing place.
It's an awesome concept.
It's a great concept. You know, I can even think about coaches meeting there early in the morning before school, just having a 15-minute Bible study and just to share for 30 minutes. You take 30 minutes out of your morning and be it Rooted and Grounded and go off to work. And what better way to start your day?
Absolutely. You know, and I was it reminds me of my oldest son's girlfriend.
Yep.
Lives in Franklin, Tennessee, and she works for the Dave Ramsey Organization.
Ooh.
And when she visited not long ago, she was telling us about how they start every morning. And every morning, as you come into work, everybody basically comes in at the same time. They meet in a big common area. It's kind of like a cafeteria, restaurant. Snacks, coffee, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And people sit with little groups and they talk, and then they stop and have about a 2 or 3 minute devotional and prayer as a group, as the entire group, before they start their job for the day.
That's so.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I heard that, and you know, this guy Dave Ramsey is one of the most successful businessmen that I know of. He has,
right.
And a lot of people like his ideas.
A lot of people don't,
but it doesn't really matter.
No,
what matters is what he does to me for his employees.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
It's just that same type of thing is what Rooted and Grounded is doing, is trying to create a space where people can come together and just make their life a little better as the day gets started.
And start that day like that.
That's an awesome, amazing way
to start your day. And and it's so close to us there at UMS. I don't know why. We're there early now. Of course, school has started a little bit earlier because of everything. When things get back to normal, that's something I'm gonna try to get a couple of guys and maybe get together and meet there at 7 o'clock in the morning, or maybe even a little earlier. But that's a really neat thing. I'm so happy for Caroline and the entire family there. But Rooted and Grounded, a great place for you to have prayer and coffee and pick up a gift and just have fellowship together early morning. Great place for coaches to do that as well. You know, the first hour's gone by really, really quick. The next hour is going to be something special. We got Jamie Riggs on, and I know you're excited about that. There's a lot of things we want to talk to Jamie about, the change in the climate of high school sports. He's been an athletic director and head football coach for lots and lots of years at T.R. Miller up in Bruton. So we look forward to that 30-minute session with Jamie, and then, of course, the Camp Gray segment will be coming up right after that. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we appreciate you being here. We are presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Also, you can hear us on Fox Sports Central, coming to you out of Sylacauga, Alabama. And, man, a lot of good things going on there. Got a new head football coach there. And wow, we talked to Rob last week, didn't we? Rob Carter.
We'll
try to catch up with Rob again here pretty soon.
I just hope everybody in Central Alabama is safe.
Oh, that's the main thing. Boy, those tornadoes. Oh, boy. We're praying for you folks. Take care. We'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Down around the corner, half a mile from here. Do you need help in your business or your family life with your state or national government? If so, please call our friend Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan. Jimmy's a member of the United States Congress for over 30 years. They've teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. You know, it's all about relationships, and Braxton and Jimmy have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. If you get a chance, give our friend Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. You know, Mark, for a while we have talked about getting our buddy Jamie Riggs, who is – you know, when I look at coaches, and I just, in my mind, I think about the five top coaches that I've had the opportunity to coach against or just spend time with. This guy's always in that top five. I mean, because of the relationships that he's developed, not only with his fellow coaches, but also with his players. Just one of the really, really good guys in our profession is Jamie Riggs. And of course, he was the head coach at T.R. Miller for 27 years, Mark. And we talk about Buddy Anderson a lot, staying at Vestavia as long as he did. Well, Jamie's that's home, and 27 years is almost like home. Of course, I think Jamie's a native of Op, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
But he spent so many years there, and it's a joy for us to maybe spend maybe close to half an hour with him this morning. Jamie, good morning, pal, and we appreciate you taking some time out to spend with us this morning on PSR. See, is there a delay? Jamie, you got
Hello?
Us? You got
yeah.
us? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We give you an intro, and you don't even get to hear it. I'm sorry. It's really a good one, Jamie.
I've been a little little slow to react down through the years and some things anyway, but I appreciate that.
Well, it's okay. It's okay. It's on our end, but it was all good. I can promise you. I didn't tell any stories that Terry might have told on you. So.
Well, good.
That's good. Hey, buddy, Mark and I, we're going to go through this as we go approach summer. We're just going to try to chat with some of our buddies and talk just a little bit about what's going on with them. And we want to touch base on Michael, too. You know, when we've talked before, we hadn't touched base on our children are some of our greatest joys.
Yes.
And I know Mark's son is in coaching, and I know your son is, too. So right off the bat, kind of give us an update on your son.
Well, Michael is leaving. He was the head coach at West Morgan. He's leaving there, and he's in the process of talking to folks about jobs right now. And he's got one he's real hopeful about. I think that hopefully that there's going to be an announcement in the next two or three weeks about that. And so I better hold off from saying anything. but he's doing well. He's been real thankful that he's got some other opportunities and some things that he can do. They've lived in the Decatur area up there. They like that area. But, you know, I got a couple of grandchildren up there. We'd like for them to get a little further south.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking, Jamie, when Rick was talking about our sons, you know, my middle son, he lives right there not too far from you, I think, in Bruton. And he just loves it there. He keeps telling me about not only just coaching there and teaching, he just loves the town. And I told him, I said, well, you know, Coach Riggs stayed a long time here, and this is his home, and he can probably fill you in on a lot of things about Bruton. But, Coach, tell us a little bit about what went into your thoughts about when you got ready to just say, you know, I think I'm gonna retire and enjoy seeing my grandkids and my kids. What kind of went through that process?
Well, you know, I actually retired twice here. I retired from T.R. Miller after the 2015 season. And, you know, part of the thing about coaching at Miller, and y'all can relate to this a little bit, is that when I got here in 1989, T.R. Miller was already good. Yeah. And my job was to try to make them a little bit better if I could, but at least hold on to what we were having. And just to give you an example, over 50 years, T.R. Miller only had 3 losing seasons in 50 years.
Wow.
So the consistency of what had been going on was something. And so, you know, when I got here, I got lucky in that there were some really good kids coming. And when we started that thing in the 90s, we were winning a lot of games and doing that. And as you win, the pressure that you put on yourself to continue that is great. And by 2015, you know, it got to the point, to be honest, it was bothering me a little bit. You know, we had taken just a little bit of a dip, not quite as good as we'd been at times in the past, and it was bothering me some. And, you know, I had double bypass surgery in 2005, and so, you know, I was concerned about my health and some things along those lines, and I just thought at the time it was best for me to move on and to get out just for my own well-being more than anything else. And I have no doubt that it was the right decision to make. I hated leaving T.R. Miller when I did, but I was 60 at the time, and I thought it was time for me to move on and do something else.
You know, Jamie, when that happens, and, you know, Steve Savarese went through the same stuff as far as the heart surgery and all of that, and I can remember talking to him, and there was just that, you know, is it time? Is it right? And as a football coach, it's just hard to step away from it. It is just and it's not so much because of what's happened in the past, is just the difference that you can make in people's lives in the future. And when you kind of sit back and you evaluate things, it's like Steve said. He said, you know, I still got a lot of energy, and I want to continue to do what I love to do. And I think that's what you're saying. It was when you came back, it was you still had that fire to change, make a difference in children's lives.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's really why we get into this profession. And we wanted to make a difference. You know, when I first started out as a coach, I didn't know anything much. You know, all I knew was what I learned in high school, and you know, I just wanted to be around kids and coach kids and do that. And then as time goes on, you know, you get into the success a little bit more, and you never get away from that wanting to deal with people. But and I know you guys can understand, there becomes so many more things involved in it, and so many more issues and things that that you have to deal with, that sometimes that other gets lost just a little bit, just because of all the things that's going on. And you know, when I first went to T.R. Miller, I was the athletic director as well. When I first went there, you know, we weren't even playing a whole lot of girls' sports.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we were playing basketball. At the time, we weren't even playing softball and volleyball. This was in the late 80s. And all of a sudden, you know, you start adding sports, and there was just so much to the whole athletic director thing and so forth. And the time that you put in is just extreme. And even in the off seasons, you know, going to games and stuff like that. And over the course of all the years that I had coached, it had taken a physical toll on me. And so as much as I wanted to continue to do what I was doing, I just felt like I needed to step away for a while.
You know, being an athletic director has so many different variables, and I think we're going to be up on a break here in about a minute and a half, Jamie. And but we, you know, being that athletic director and doing that, especially at a school like T.R. Miller, which has so many sports that they are very proud of, you have to do a lot of different things and wear a lot of different hats. And on a daily basis, what were some of the most difficult things that you had to do there? And if we need to break, we'll just break it in and stop and pick you up in the next half.
Well, you're trying to be fair to everyone. I think that's an issue, you know, with everything. And everybody has the issue of sports running together, you know.
Right.
And you've got a lot of kids trying to play some of the same sports, and you want them to do that because in a school our size, we needed everyone to be able to play as much as they could, but as many sports as they could. That's an issue. Just financing is a tremendous issue. You know, and trying to figure out a way that we could finance, because obviously some sports make money and some sports don't make any money. So there are just a lot of issues with all those kind of things that that each school has that are constant. And a lot of times, you know, depending upon the administration you have and the parental involvement that you have, you know, some of that can be helpful, and some of that has some different philosophies about some things. So there's just a lot of issues that go on these days with the overall athletic program, trying to run it fairly and finance.
That's right.
You're listening to Coach Jamie Riggs. He is a mountain of a man in our profession.
Yes,
and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, and Jamie, the first thing I want to talk about is specialization. So many people today want their child just to play one sport. We're going to talk to you about that and how you encountered and handled those situations with your players. We'll be back on Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report with Jamie Riggs right after this break.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Premier Collision is your local auto body repair shop, owned and operated locally in Mobile, Alabama. For all your auto body collision repairs, trust the experts at Premier Collision, your auto repair specialist. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. Give our friend Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Mark and I are talking to Jamie Riggs this morning. Jamie is a longtime football coach at T.R. Miller High School in Brewton, and he retired for a little while, and I think his last coaching job was Houston Academy.
Correct.
in Dothan, in the Circle City. And, Coach, thank you for spending some time with us this morning, pal.
You're welcome.
It's always good to talk to the guys that we have the utmost respect for in our profession. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, Jamie, is one of the things that we're having to deal with in coaching right now is so many people want children to specialize in one sport or another and just play one sport. schools like where we are at UMS Wright, where Mark is at Bayside, and I'm sure at T.R. Miller, and at Houston Academy on your last stop, got to have kids playing multiple sports. And everything that we read and study, all the experts, the so-called experts and whoever they are, they all say that, and Dr. James Andrews in Gulf Breeze has been on this bandwagon for a long time, play as many sports as you can play for as long as you can play them. How did you deal with that, Jamie?
Well, it's something that really has come up in the last, more than anything else, the last 15 to 20 years, but particularly in the last decade. And I think as we have, now we have all these trainers that are out there, you know, to train people in the off season, and it's really become an issue with us at Miller. I know, we did everything we could do to encourage kids to play, and we were big into the small town thing, play for your hometown, that kind of thing. And all these kids had grown up with all these other kids, and they wanted to play other sports because they enjoyed playing with their buddies, you know, and that was a big deal. The specialization thing that I saw with our kids was that the ones that tend to just do that, they tend to play that sport too much. They tend to have more injury situations because if you're playing baseball all the time and you're a pitcher, you're probably pitching too much. You're not getting the off season that you need to be able to rest your arm and those kind of things. And those were always issues with those kids. And it was just an issue all the time. But we were able to kind of handle that to a certain extent just by trying to encourage kids to get out there and play with their friends and that kind of thing. So it's an issue that I don't think is going away anytime, but I just believe that they miss so much, and they miss so much in competition.
Yes.
Because playing other sports, you get different kinds of competition going on. There's a difference in playing, say, basketball and football. There's a difference in competition there. And the other thing that I always thought is a lot of these kids that are specialized and are obviously very good at their sport. And I always had a lot of respect for some. I had a couple of kids that played for us a decade or so ago here at Miller. They were football players and baseball players. Truly outstanding baseball players. They went on to play in college, and they played on some of the national teams, and they were truly good. And what those kids, they would go to colleges and visit, and all the baseball coaches were saying that they wanted kids that played other sports, particularly football. It helped from a competition standpoint. It helped their toughness some. And the other thing I would tell you about that is a lot of times, you know, well, you're a star in this sport, might not be a star in the other sport. And I think it helps to keep them grounded a little bit to be able to go and play that other sport where they're not the best player on the team. And to kind of keep them straight as far as just the standpoint of how they feel about themselves and so forth in that realm. So there's just the specialization thing, I guess, is fine for some kids. But overall, I just don't see it as being a big factor. And finally, if you'll go back and look, some of the great folks that we have playing professional sports today, a lot of them played other sports. You know, and you get them interviewed where they talk about that, they're a professional baseball player, but they played football or something when they were in high school.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jamie. And you hear it all the time, especially from these guys who talk about it. I'm going to take us in another direction before we let you go at the end of this hour. We're going to talk about – I want to talk to you about the Alabama Football Coaches Association. I know that you are a big part of that organization. And kind of tell us what that's all about, the Alabama Football Coaches Association that has grown – over the last, I don't know how long it's been in existence, a little over 20 years now, I think, and how it's grown and what it is and what it's for and what it means to the state of Alabama's football programs.
Well, the Alabama Football Coach Association is really doing some great things under Jack Wood as our executive director and our leadership. The whole thing got started in 2004. I coached in the North-South All-Star game, and we did it that year in December in Troy.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of years we played in December.
Yeah.
The discussion among our staff, Bill, it was pretty interesting staff we had over there that year. Bill Clark was the head coach. He was at Prattville at the time. Doug Goodwin was coaching in that game. Mike Dubose was coaching in that game. I was there. And the discussion got to be about where we were headed with football in the next, 20 years. And we were concerned that there was a lot of push at the time from other sports about, cut some things of football and so forth and extending seasons and other things. And we decided we needed to get a group of football coaches together and form an association just to promote football, high school football in the state of Alabama. And so Bill and I got that thing rolling a little bit. Bill found us a place to have a meeting, and we had a first meeting up there in Prattville. And started from there. We basically started from scratch with that and put an organization together and hired Jack Wood as our executive director. And the organization now, today, we give just thousands and thousands of dollars worth of scholarships each year to kids who parents or coaches and the kids that are going into coaching. We do a convention each year and bring coaches together and have a clinic, and we give awards to Coach of the Years and Assistant Coach of the Years there. We have some other special awards and things. A few years ago, we started a Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's just been great to watch many of our former coaches who have retired get honored by their peers one more time. Their families come in, and this organization has really done a great job of promoting high school football in our state. And the final thing I would tell you that's happened with that is that we have a great relationship with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They use us, sometimes for information and for suggestions and things. And that wasn't going on 20 years ago. And so, we're very proud to be a part of that. We hope that it's going to continue and to grow and continue to be a great organization in our state.
Well, Jamie, that's got to be a feather in a lot of guys' caps there to be in on the genesis of starting an organization that has done so much for so many. And you and Bill and that whole group of people that got that started, that has flourished. And other sports are trying to do the same thing now. I know baseball does the same thing. I know there's a group of basketball coaches in Birmingham trying to do the same thing. But thank you for that. And thank you for spending some time with us this morning, pal. We're big fans. We're big fans, and we want nothing but joy and happiness in your life. And we want to stay in touch with you, and you're that guy for us. We really, really, really appreciate everything you've done. And, boy, you are you deserve that time with those grandkids now, and I hope everything is just as good for you in this life that you have now as it was in the coaching profession, because you are a giant among our profession.
Thank you, Rick, and hope the same thing for you and Mark.
Take care, pal.
Take care, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. Jamie Riggs, boy, I'm telling you, Mark, I can't even begin to tell you. I remember the first time I met Jamie, we met at Huntington College to play a tennis match. He was the head tennis coach at McGill-Toulin here in Mobile. We met at Huntington and played a tennis match.
Class act.
Man, good guy. Really good guy. Going to put you on the spot when we come back, Mark. We're going to talk about 10 hires in high school football. Who's going to make the most of that new job? I like putting you on the spot. We'll be back with more Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5 at Fox Sports Central.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Welcome back to Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, but I can tell you right now, I am never going to interrupt Boz Skaggs. Just not going to do it. It's just not in my DNA.
Andrew Zell won't either anymore.
No, Andrew Zell won't anymore. And I guarantee you Dabo Swinney is listening to some Boz Skaggs. If not, I'm going to touch base with Andrew this week. I just want to compliment somebody, too. And I got a phone call off the air that humbles a lot. Mark and I, we get humbled. Mark, that phone call came from a person that I have the utmost respect for and genuine love for his family. But I want to say something about Kane Womack at South Alabama. What I see Kane Womack doing sounds all good, and I'm excited for that program because that program, I was a huge Joey fan, and listen, I love that program. I do. I got to spend some really great times with that staff in the beginning. But I'm excited to hear what he's doing. He's got some innovative things going on. And I don't know if you've had a chance to follow any of it, but he's really doing some things that I think are really, really necessary over there. They've got an amazing facility. The folks that are in charge there have built an amazing facility there, as fine a facility as anywhere in the Southeast. And I'm just excited for that program, and we're going to do everything we can to get Kane on here with us and just to talk about what's going on at South Alabama. But I'm just excited for what's going on. I wanted to challenge you, Mark. I want to put you on the spot because you're a Johnny-on-the-spot guy. So here we – the Lord can help you get
He's
through
gonna
this.
Probably
it's going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 10 coaches that have they got some tough shoes to fill. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly. And some of them, you've been in some of these places, and others, you know a whole lot about them as I do. So I'm going to get your take on this because I think our listeners will enjoy what you have to say. First coach, new job, Alma Bryant High School, Bart Sessions.
Bart Sessions brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to a school that has everything it needs to be successful. It just needs a guy like Bart to come in and rally all the troops, get everybody to follow this on the same path, get everybody on the same page. To me, that's one of the hardest things there is to do at Alma Bryant,
right.
Get everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
That's administration, coaches, communities, get everybody on the same page, and then allow his philosophy and his process to work. It will work. He's already been successful. We know that. He can do it there too. I think you will see a turnaround in that program. I think you'll see it as early as this year. You'll see some growth in that program, and I within 3 years be somebody to be reckoned with.
He's got to stay there, Mark.
That's what I was talking about. There's got to be some longevity.
They've got to keep this guy there. Bart Sessions, this is home. This is home. Bart, they need to make Bart a situation that he never wants to leave, and he needs to make that situation a situation that nobody wants him to leave.
Right.
And that is a place that it can be done.
Can be done,
It
yes.
can be done.
Some good folks down there.
Great folks and down in the Bayou, and I'm excited as a hometown boy coming home. Let's get that thing back to where Rush had it and you had it. Kind of different cultures, but let's get it back to that. Those kids deserve that. Those kids and those communities deserve that. Keith Etheridge, Auburn High School.
Keith Etheridge has been a winner wherever he's been, and he will continue to do so. He'll go to Auburn and build upon what Coach Weingarten has built there, when we know what he's built there. And, Coach Carter had built part
right.
of it. Coach Weingarten
continued
it. And now Keith Etheridge, who I've coached against Keith. I know the kind of guy he is, and he's a humble, humble guy. He really is. When you get to know him and talk with him, he's a really humble guy. But, man, he knows how to run a program. He will do great things at Auburn. Auburn is not going away. Bad news for Opelika and Phoenix City and all those guys.
Right.
Over there.
Absolutely.
That's a war zone over there,
No doubt. Now, can Auburn ever overcome a 9-point loss in 20 seconds?
Yes, they can.
I believe that too.
Yes, they can.
And I think this is the guy that can propel them over that hash mark that
absolutely
has just a tough, tough loss. But this guy's a guy that can take them where they need to go.
No doubt.
Then let's look at Adam Weingarten, Tuscaloosa County.
Adam's going to do great. Adam's done great wherever he's been. Hillcrest, Fairhope, Auburn, and now moving there to Tuscaloosa County. Moving kind of back home for him to his wife's
right.
hometown. I think that's huge for him. I think he and his wife have always wanted to get back around family. I don't think we realize, and I'm doing my best, I don't think we realize what family means until they're not there.
Right.
So, you know, good for him and good for his family and good for Tuscaloosa County for getting one of the finest men in this profession. He is a fine, fine man, and I'm not going to let 2 minutes of a coaching of a game tell me anything about Adam Weingarten. I know the culture he brings and what he does to help raise young men up to be people who go into our communities and become leaders.
He epitomizes what PSR started 18 years ago.
Yes, he
being
does.
A part of building young people up and not being a part of tearing them down. And that's what Adam Weingarten has done everywhere he's been. And I expect him to do the same thing at Tuscaloosa County. Great. I think it's a great hire and
a
great move. I think it's a great move. Okay, I just talked to this guy's daddy this week. Philip Rivers at St. Michael's.
God, I'm going to tell you something. I wish he wouldn't come to St. Michael's.
That's you at last.
I mean, if I'm going to be truthful,
yeah, I know.
I'm going to be truthful. Yeah. In all honesty, good for St. Michael's.
Yeah, good for St.
And
Michael's.
Good for Philip Rivers. He's going to do – I don't even know the guy, but just watching him play ball, I can see what the competitor he is, and yet a competitor with a lot of class and a lot of great values that he will teach in his coaching and how he goes about things, and people will flock to that.
I think so too.
And I think he's a great hire.
It's personal here. We are two emotional men.
Too much so.
That's right, too much so. His dad was my hero. Steve Rivers grew up one of your wedges away from me. I mean, literally across the street. And I love his daddy. Philip will sit in the studio with us unless you and Laz won't let me bring him in. But we're going to bring him in. But just to have him around these children.
It's great for kids.
The Christ-centered boy, what he will bring to that community, it's a great hire. I think it's a phenomenal hire. And I just think he'll do unbelievable jobs. Sean Calhoun leaves Georgia, comes to Alabama to take, I think, the toughest job to take at Vestavia Hills.
Nobody wants to be that guy. To follow a legend is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to follow Bear Bryant.
No.
Didn't.
No.
Nobody really wanted to follow Pat Dye.
True.
He had changed the culture of Auburn.
Absolutely.
He really had.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody's going to want to follow Nick Saban. I mean, who's that guy?
I don't know. They may have to stop the program for a while.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But to take a job like Vestavia is a job that has different – it's different than a program that is struggling.
Yeah.
It's different. And there's different ways you have to do that. It's a very difficult job. I don't know this coach.
No, we don't know him.
I don't know him at all.
No.
I know he is – and it's not a difficult job in the fact that it's – do they love football? Yeah, they do. Is it a school that loves their athletics?
Wow.
Yes, they do. They love it there. It's a matter of can he win the community and not be Buddy Anderson?
Well, and that's going to be hard because that community is going to be divided for a while.
It will
be. It's going to be divided for a while. So we're pulling for him. Mark Hudspeth at Gulf Shores.
Going to do a great job down there. He's made some good hires already and got some great guys down there with him. Gulf Shores is making huge strides to really get that football program moving in a direction they want it to go. And so I think this was kind of their vision when they separated from Baldwin County.
Right.
I think that was part of the plan to get more control over what's going on in their city. And so, and kudos to them for doing that. And I'm interested to watch that one. That's going to be fun to watch.
We may have to get in the car some night that Bayside's off and take a ride down there and watch some of that. That may be cool. Of course, he's hired Kenny Edenfield, Sun Belt Conference coach, coached at Troy, coached at South Alabama. And then Brian Van Gorder, who has got professional experience with the Falcons, also
it's crazy. I sit and listen to those guys in clinics.
Yeah, I know. Well, now they're going to be there. You know, in North Alabama, not a guy we know much about, Chip English. We're going to skip one. We're going to go to Mobile and go to McGill Tulin and talk about Norman Joseph. Talked to a guy yesterday, knows Norman Joseph inside and out. He says it's a great hire, and there'll be a you know, it'll just continue to do what they've been doing.
I think he's a great hire. I knew him when he was at Mississippi College, as I told you a little bit earlier. I think we talked to him, I don't know, a month or two ago when he first came.
Yep.
But I think it's a good hire for McGill. He brings a lot of great knowledge and value to that program, and it will just continue what's being built there and take McGill to another level, I do believe, because he got a few different ideas.
Yeah, he does.
And but that's what you always want that when you go.
Okay, the last one, a guy that I love dearly, Mike Dubose, takes over at his hometown of Opp.
Mike is going to do a great job at Opp. I'm just going to go tell you that right now. Mike is a guy who learns a lot from lessons in life.
Absolutely.
And he is going to take this and do the very best job he can. Very knowledgeable coach, very personable person. Still remembers names from years ago. Unbelievable how he does it. Yeah. I can't remember half people I know. Here he is, you know, doing it again in his hometown.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'm excited for both he and Polly. I really am. And I think he'll do a fabulous job.
Yes.
Just like I think Rob Carter will do at Sylacauga, too.
Yes.
We're pulling for Melvin Peete Jr. here at Williamson. Boy, some great hires around the state. We're anxious to look, watch, and see, comment, and do everything we can to build them up and not be a part of tearing them down. You're listening to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, and we are live at Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central.
This segment of the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, in our lives today, it's been, I guess, since the first of the year, it's been I've been continually reminded of the briefness of this life on this planet, I think is the quickest way or the best way to say that, and how every day is, as we've said in here before, every day is a gift. It's the present. Every day is that. And every day we spend in the present is a gift. And what we do with that day is our responsibility. And I've thought about that a lot, and I've had some, you know, I've had some close friends that have gotten very, very sick. I've had some childhood friends that I knew that have passed away. I've had a family member to pass away, a dear friend to pass away. Just a lot of this I keep hearing about it and seeing it, and I don't think there's anything to not talk about because I think it's important that as we talk about folks that have passed away, what we really do when we do that is we talk about how they lived. And how they lived is so much more important because that is what will carry many of us through our lives. Because when it stops, when the band stops playing and the crowd stops cheering, what they're going to want to know, people are want to know, is what kind of person was that person? What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what's woven into the lives of others. None of us know how much time we have on this earth. What is left in the end are our actions, the memories you leave behind, and how you made people feel. What you want to leave behind is people to remember you with love. The greatest legacy anyone can leave behind is to positively impact the lives of others. Whenever you add value to other people's lives, you are unknowingly leaving footprints on the sands of time that live on even after your demise. I told you last week about a good friend of mine, that grandfather to several guys I coached, Teddy Council Sr. I told you about him and his love for Fairhope and love for kids and family. And it was just, he's a good friend of mine. And he's one of those guys who left those things behind. Teddy Council Jr., his father-in-law passed away this week. So Teddy Jr. has had a tough week. A good friend of mine as well, Duke Smith, passed away Tuesday, March the 23rd. A veteran of the U.S. Navy, moved to Fairhope, became the after he retired as captain of the Mobile Fire Department, joined the Fairhope Fire Department, served 8 more years, 2 of those being fire chief. Then he started a pest control company, and that's how I really kind of got to know him. He would came to my house and sprayed my house, I think it was once every 2 or 3 months. His wonderful, beautiful wife, Patty, would call and say, "Coach, dude's coming out tomorrow." I'd say, "Great. I can't wait to see him." Because every time he came to my house, it was the same. "Coach, how you doing? Everything good? Tell me about what's been going on." And we would talk for a few minutes. He didn't just come in and spray the house and leave me a bill. He would stand and talk about what's going on in our life, what's going on in my family's life, and tell me what's going on in his family's life that he was so proud of. Loved his children, loved his grandchildren. You know, Teddy, as the son-in-law, his wife Kim, and sister-in-law Ashley, just fantastic friends of mine. And have been ever since I moved to Fairhope back in 2001. Duke is going to be missed. Loved his family. And what did he leave behind? And as I told you a few minutes ago, what I believe is we will think of him with love as time passes. That will be the thought. And that is what we leave. That's what we want to leave. I think that's what Jesus wanted all of us to do. I think that's it. Love one another. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Simple. It's a simple deal. Maybe not always that simple to do it, especially to people that you may or may not have a problem with. But, you know, as I've been thinking about these men that I know, my father-in-law, you know, I think about these men and what they meant to my life in different ways. They all left that legacy that when I think of them, I think of them with love and appreciation and thank you for who they were and what they taught in their children, and their children will teach to their children, and those grandchildren are going to teach to the great-grandchildren, and it continues to spread. And if we do a good enough job with that in our families, as these men did, you will see a spreading of goodness throughout our communities. I think that that's what we're here to do. So to the folks of Duke Smith, we're praying for you and thinking of you. We will miss him. And we're thinking of you guys as you bury him today. Oh, anyway, as we move forward to the last, what do we got? Ian, about a minute left. We had some guests on with us today that talked about, I've got Caleb Ross and Jamie Riggs, Carolyn Pilot, and her business in Mobile, which talks about, it's rooted and grounded, a business. They talk about prayer and having a safe place to come and have coffee and talk with your friends. As we talk about these things and talk about these folks, it's just great to have them because they always bring a positive influence to our program. And that's what this program is for. Rick started this a long time ago, and that's what it was started for, was to bring positive ideals and positive reinforcement to children, to coaches, to parents, to communities, administrators, schools, everything that we can possibly do to bring that in. So today, as we wrap this up, I hope all of you have a great week. And remember this, no matter what you do or where you go, He is always with you. Goodbye. See you next week.